One of the important things in your life and in my life is money. Through our lives, we have all accumulated possessions. Whatever they may be, they were accumulated through a great deal of sacrifice of our own physical strength and energy, a great expenditure of time, in the application of our mind. Now, the acquiring of our possessions has done something to us in turn. It's very much like a sculptor who has finished his work on a piece of stone and then discovers that two things have happened. First, the finished statue, and secondly, the dulling of his tools. And so it is with us, with the making of money. The consequence is always twofold. First, the amount that we have earned, and then secondly, the effect that it has had on the tools that we have used with which to earn it. And that's why every one of us should alert himself to what the making of money has done to our own personal conscience, to our own inner dispositions, to our social ideals, and to our moral values. I have seen a little bit of money do an awful lot of damage to some very fine people. And that's why I am sure Jesus devoted one third of all of his parables and stories to that subject. And that's why today our reading from St. James contains some of the sternest sentences in all of the New Testament. James addresses himself to those people whom he calls you rich people. And he tells them in no uncertain terms that their wealth has rotted, and their fine clothing has been moth-eaten, and their precious metals have been corroded. And then he goes on to picture their rotted wealth crying out against those people who have accumulated it. And he warns them of the impending retribution when the social and the economic injustices will rise up and condemn them in turn. It's always a sad story whenever we see that happen in people's lives. And most of us here today feel that we are untouched by it because we feel that it concerns only rich people. And none of us here today consider ourselves rich people. But are you certain? What does rich mean to you? It is one of the most relative of all words in our language. Almost always it means those people who make and have more than we do. To the millionaire, only the multimillionaire is rich. But to the person who lacks the bare necessities of life, those people who have a roof over their heads and something on the table tonight, they appear incredibly rich. And you and I would find it hard to believe today that by worldwide standards, most of us here today are considered rich people. And that's why we all should listen to the words of James. Now James condemns the rich not because of their wealth, but because of the attitude that they have toward it. He says that many of them have made it unfairly, and they have used it unwisely. Most of our problems involve two basic mistakes when it comes to money. First, we forget what it can do to us. The rottenness of wealth is not always in the treasure itself. More often than not, it is in the heart. Deep down in the heart of the one who holds it. Money, you see, is intended to be a servant, a good servant. But so easily, money can become a tyrant and utterly possess a person's life. There's no doubt that this is what has happened to the people that James is speaking to. The desire to possess has taken possession of them, and they are no longer in charge of their own lives. They are possessed. Sir James Barrie, the Scottish playwright, wrote a little drama called The Will. There are three scenes, each of them taking place in the same law office. The first scene involves a young couple, recently married and very much in love. They have come there to write their will, even though their possessions are relatively few. The husband has inherited a little bit of money, and he wants to leave everything to his wife. And she objects to that generosity, and she wants him to include his cousins and a nursing home. The lawyer is deeply touched by their attitude, and before they leave his office, he says to them, "You are a ridiculous couple. Please do not ever change." The next scene is 20 years later. The same couple is back to revise their will. And this time it does involve a sizable estate. Each is there to be certain that the other partner does not do anything foolish. The wife now objects to including his cousins, and the nursing home is completely forgotten. Both of them use the term our, or rather my money, and they reach an agreement only after a long, heated argument with the lawyer. The third scene, same office, 20 years later again. The husband comes back now, all alone. The wife is dead. He's come back to cancel all previous arrangements and start all over. He explains that all of the children have gone bad. He wants all of the relatives dropped from the will. And after struggling with himself for a long time, he gives the lawyer the names of a few men whom he has beaten to get his money. And he says, "I leave it all to them with my curses." The story is a bit overdrawn, but I think anyone here today will think of someone among their associates or friends or family. It makes a valid point. You and I make a mistake, When we forget that money, even a little bit of money, can have a tremendous effect on our lives. The other mistake we make is what we should do with our money. Most people assume that money is intended to pay bills, and then after that we accumulate it. There's nothing wrong with saving, but it would be so ridiculous to think that it is meant to be hoarded. The person who does that is often considered wise and far-sighted. But the real problem with that policy is that it is too short-sighted. If all we do with our money is feed ourselves and save the rest, then we are going to lose it all. We are going to die and leave it all behind. People who have money are always concerned about security. And they should be concerned. We should all be concerned. But what is that? How secure and for how long? In recent years, many people have invested their money in gold as a shield against inflation. That might be a wise action, but how secure is gold? How long can you really count on it? For the rest of your life? That's fine. But then what? Eventually, you will lose it all. But let's forget about death for a moment and just begin to use our imaginations. Suppose that you had a tip next week on the future, and you would discover that in 10 years' time from now, there will be a sudden and dramatic change. That all of our money, real estate and gold, will all become worthless. And the only thing that will have value will be art. Now, what do you think you would do? If you were a wise person, you would start investing in art. That's just a personal inside tip. But even so, I'm telling you that there's coming a time in my life, because I've collected it, and in your life, when everything, including art, will be worthless. The only thing of lasting value is people. And the person who is truly wise will invest every dime that he possibly can in people. That way, that person will lay up treasures for himself that nothing can destroy. As someone said, all that you can hold in your cold, dead hand is what you have given away. You cannot keep what you do not share. To accept that reality and to act accordingly is the only practical approach to money. We carry our treasure, not made of gold, in earthen vessels. Christ, our Lord.
We invite all of you to sing, "We Stand in Need."